Chicago teachers getting ready to hold a rally. 4:30, they're going to start at the Bank of America and march down to City Hall. And we're talking about this crisis that's developing with the Chicago Public Schools, dealing with crushing debt. They are hemorrhaging cash, a lot of issues with what to do, how to pay teachers, how to move forward. And the officials with the Chicago Public Schools, Forrest Claypool, announced $100 million in new budget cuts this week that could include, it might include, teacher layoffs. You've got the mayor, you've got the governor, and the Chicago Teachers Union all drawing pretty strong lines in the sand. The mayor and the city, of course, offering that contract to CTU, the Teachers Union, and they turned it down. There is a strike looming that could happen as soon as May, we're told. The governor says, now comes the governor, who says he would like to take over the school system and bankrupt the schools. Seems like a pretty strong thing to do. And we're joined by a legendary Chicago newsman, Walter Jacobson. I know this set you off because you sent some emails around the building. You let everybody know, wait a minute, what is going on here? And you have the benefit of history of knowing what's happened in this city for many years. What do you make of this,
Walter?
Well,
and it's hard to predict what happens in this city. But the shame of this right now is that politics is involved in this whole mess and there's no way to keep it out. And my discomfort is Bruce Rauner, our governor, seeming to be so determined to push his political agenda through the General Assembly that he's going way over the line in picking on Rahm Emanuel. You know, this budget crisis in the Board of Education isn't at this point all Rahm's fault. In fact, it's probably not Rahm's fault because the groundwork for all this pain was laid long before Rahm came to office. But for Bruce Rauner to say that Chicago is a failure, Chicago is a mess, Rahm Emanuel is dealing with people in the teachers union who are corrupt, that's too much. And that Bruce Rauner will take over the public schools? How could Bruce Rauner, whose state is buried in billions more damagely debt than the Board of Education.
He's got a lot of problems on his hands, is barely one of them.
How could he possibly, what in the world is he talking about? Mm-hmm. Taking over, taking charge, being prepared, already looking for a successor to run the Board of Education. I mean, it's like out of this world because it is so unrealistic, not to mention the fact that he can't just walk in and take charge of the Chicago Board of Education without some legislation passed in the General Assembly. And he doesn't have the power to rule the General Assembly because both houses of that assembly are run by great Democratic majorities.
That's right, a supermajority. Senate President John Collerton has said the law doesn't even allow him to do that. And if the governor even tries to change the law, tries to do it, it is dead on arrival in legislature. So they think they're presenting it as an empty threat, the Madigans and the Collertons of the world, and yet he's doubling down on it. He mentioned it, he hinted about it, and now he's still, the governor's moving forward saying that might be the answer. Yeah. And I suppose the critics might say, well, wait a minute, things are this desperate, not only in the state, but for the schools. Things are this desperate now that desperate times require desperate measures, and what's wrong with doing something this drastic? Chef Graham Elliott is also with us here today, I should mention.
Well, the main thing wrong with it is that all the blame that Rauner is putting on people who are involved in the loss of money or need for money in the Board of Education is on the teachers, the poor teachers. Every time there is a money crisis, politicians go after the teachers, or at least the Republican politicians, or at least Bruce Rauner. You know what I think he's doing here? I think he is trying, with all these terrible things he's saying about Rahm Emanuel and how Chicago education has totally failed, Chicago's war on crime has totally failed, all these horrible things that Bruce Rauner is attributing to Mayor Emanuel are because he is trying to force Rahm Emanuel into an even deeper hole that he is in now in order to get Rahm to put pressure on the Speaker of the House, Michael Madigan, to go along with Rauner's agenda.
I wish we had that ding, ding, ding effect that Roe uses, because I would press that button right here. It does feel like it's fairly transparent to all of us who are studying this and looking at it that that's what's going on.
And you know what? Even yesterday, Bruce Rauner went further in talking about where ROM has failed, further in saying how desperate the city needs a new Board of Education. Exactly at the time that ROM was in New York pleading for investors to go into the bonds in Chicago to make enough money available to keep the schools open.
Right, they just borrowed $725 million in additional bonds, borrowing off of next year, which is a desperate situation. But to hear the governor go out and say it's going to go bankrupt, not the thing you want to hear if you're planning on loaning money to the schools.
It's just weird to think that it's not a governor that has years and years of amazing record, you know, behind him, that he's able to step in and say, this is what I would do. This is what's clearly worked in the past for the state. And I think that, you know, my leadership shows that. So we should step in and kind of take this
and
over.
Look at
what's going on in the state. And it's that whole glass houses type idea, you know. And like you said, Rahm hasn't been the mayor here for three decades overseeing this. You step into it and, you know, clearly what he's been trying to do with the teachers union isn't working either. But I think there's a lot of blame to go around and be shared. But it's all about what do you do to solve this problem now, and saying, let's just, you know, force everything into bankruptcy and I'll take over.
And I do feel Walter's point is true, that we are sort of vilifying teachers in this process. I mean, they make $71,000 a year on average. Mm-hmm. It is one of the higher paid positions. If you look at their counterparts in other states, it is a little bit higher. It's higher than the state average. State average, I think, is about 62,000. But I mean, having sat in the classrooms, I know you both have probably done this too. My sister's a teacher in the Chicago Public Schools. Full disclosure, my mom worked in the schools as a clerk for many years. You are dealing with large class sizes. You're dealing with a lot of issues in these classes. And to say that they have a lot of places to cut or a lot of resources would be absolutely not factual. These schools are run on lean budgets, and there isn't a lot of extra. The teachers will all tell you they're bringing supplies to school.
Absolutely.
They're contributing on that salary to their own classrooms.
Mm-hmm. My sister-in-law and brother-in-law are teachers. One's now private school, one's public school. But to hear about, you know, the 35-plus kids in their class and, you know, how everything falls on them for test scores, et cetera, when not really taking into consideration where the kids are brought up and their families and those situations as well that they don't have control over. And it's not a job that, you know, you see a lot of other career opportunities where, okay, step up, teach for 5 years, then you'll double your salary by running this department. And you know what I mean? It's like you go, you teach, you're working with kids, and to have them be vilified all the time, I mean, it's an easy target, you know?
It seems like a bad consequence of this whole thing. And, you know, you think about the mismanagement over the years and how we got here, both as a state and as a school budget. You know, I mean, you think about it. Remember the lottery. Remember everyone talked about the lottery. It's going to be so great, this lottery windfall that's going to all go to education. It went, but then they took the other little budgets that did go to schools and those went elsewhere. We all know that story now. And it's sort of symbolic of what has happened in our schools and in our state. Kicking the can down the road, waiting for one day when it's going to explode and the chickens come home to roost, and look, here we are.
Well, we can't, however, Anna, we can't dismiss the fact that there is not enough money, and the teachers' union has been able to create beneficial contracts to the union and to the members of the union that are, as you pointed out a few minutes ago, Anna, highly above what's generally done in the state and around the country. The pensions being paid to the union teachers are huge. And, you know, there's just no answer. Mm-hmm. Money has to come from somewhere. My contention is that there always seems to be enough money to do something at the moment of a crisis. I can't believe that it is totally impossible for the politicians to find other ways to ease this crisis rather than, as we're saying, stick it just to the teachers, really.
Walter, can you stick around for just a minute? Because we want to talk about the town hall meeting last night with Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. They have a debate tonight. We want to get to that quickly. But first, let's get to traffic trouble spots. Violetta Padromatic.